Well, one thing I failed to do at the beginning was make the announcements, so I'm going to make a few announcements here before we get into the message for today. First of all, our children's ministry and Sunday program is going to be an extension of what was an amazing VBS, and they will be carrying that theme of water into their Sunday school lessons. They'll have five great stories from the Old Testament, five great stories from the New Testament, and continue to learn how God does amazing and incredible, miraculous things on behalf of His people through water. Second announcement is, you'll see on the back of the impact, there is a calendar of events for the summer. So I just want to draw your attention to that, because sometimes things shift during the summer months and the schedules change a little bit. So there could be something you're involved in that has maybe changed or been adapted for the summer. Last and final thing is, I always like, when I'm aware of it, to point out something that one of our friends and family members of OSL has done that's an incredible thing, and I'm going to do that today. So one of the friends of our congregation, Landry Ratliff, he doesn't know I'm doing this, he's waving in the back, he did his first ultra marathon yesterday, 50 miles. And good. And it broke my heart to tell him that I've done 50 miles before, except he did it 6.5 hours sooner than I did. Almost, it seems like, half a day. And why I'm excited about this and share this isn't just a personal accomplishment, but it's a joy for me as a pastor anytime you see somebody experience for themselves that God has made you capable of doing so much more than you ever thought you could do. And that's how amazing our Creator God is. And so to me, that's the real highlight, is to learn these things about God and how He has made us to be. So, and some of you think, well, He's made me to be one who can drive a car, and I'm fine with that. But you can learn those things. So we'll pivot now into the message. Let's open with a prayer, and then we'll get rolling. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You continue to preserve Your Word among us, that You preserve these historical encounters with Jesus, and how these encounters continue to not only shape and form those of the past, but continue to shape and form our very lives this day. And so, Lord, as we engage You in the Scriptures today, may Your Holy Spirit lead us to comprehend the depth of who our Lord Jesus truly is, not just then, but who He is now for us also. And so may Your Spirit help illuminate that truth, and may we have our faith as a result increased and our trust in Jesus increased in this word today. We pray this in His name. Amen. So today our gospel lesson is the sermon text, and it comes in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, and I would say it's probably a very familiar story that you heard probably from the earliest ages in Sunday school, even in messages. At least every 3 years you go through this story and you hear it. But one thing I want to do on the front end is help us to just slow down a little bit with this passage, because as the authors of the gospel record this story, though it's many years after the fact, it's important for us to know that they're retelling the story as if it were live. And so when we come into this text at this moment, we have to realize that the disciples at this point don't have the full picture. It's early in Jesus' public ministry, and they're getting bits and pieces from Jesus about Jesus of who He is. It's not fully developed. It's a lesson and learning still in progress. So before our reading today, here are some things that Jesus' closest disciples and some of the crowds would have known already about Jesus. Is they have seen Him with their own eyes bring healing to people. They have seen Him say a word and an affliction and illness is removed. They have also been witness to moments where demons had possessed somebody, and Jesus sent the demons away and liberated the person from that possession. They have had an ear for Jesus' teaching. They have come to see that the reaction to Jesus' teaching from others has been, we have never heard anybody else speak like this. He talks with an authority that seems so different than the rabbis that have taught us. There seems to be something quite different about him. These are some of the puzzle pieces that his disciples are carrying around in their pocket right now. And if you've ever done a puzzle, most of you know, logically, most people start where with a puzzle? They build the outside of the puzzle, right? And they begin to frame it. And even if they have that done, if they don't have the picture on the box, they don't exactly know what will emerge. What will be the center of this picture that we are putting together? And we know that, right? It's going to be Christ crucified and risen. We know the center of the picture, but they don't yet. And so today they get another piece of the puzzle. So in this story, right, we learn this pattern. There's this familiar pattern in all of Scripture. It's a pattern that mirrors the overall narrative of Scripture. And it's a pattern that you and I experience in our lives individually and also at times collectively. There is calm in the world. There are moments, and you might be in one now, where you in your life are experiencing calm and peace. But there are also storms which emerge in life. Unsettling situations. Things that you encounter that you don't readily have an answer to. And then there is calm again in this life. In other words, you could say things are sometimes set up in life. Things are sometimes then upset in life. And then after being upset, those things can sometimes become reset in life. This is the pattern of today's story. It's the pattern of the Scriptures. It's the pattern of your life and my life in this cyclical nature of life and faith. So, Mark 4, we step into the boat with Jesus and his disciples. All is calm. There's a peace in the heart, though probably exhaustion in the hearts of Jesus and his disciples as they have been busy ministering to people all over the place as they come to them. They begin to move off from the shore, as Pastor Thompson said, to go to the other side of the lake. And they sail calmly and peacefully on the surface of the water. Jesus is fast asleep in this first century boat. It's calm and it's peaceful, and then it is not. The winds pick up. A storm crashes upon the sea, and we know enough of the Scriptures to know most of the men in the boat are experienced fishermen and sailors. So this storm is at least significant enough to cause all of them internal angst, unrest, and uncertainty. This is a storm like they have maybe not ever encountered in their life before. All the while, Jesus is asleep in the boat. And all that's going on in them internally will, as it often does in their life and ours, it will emerge externally. And in this case, it comes out externally in waking Jesus up and then asking Jesus a question. Do you not care if we perish? Said maybe another way, Jesus, wake up. Do you not care that we are about to die as a result of this storm and the flooding waters coming into this boat? We will all drown. This is the question that they put before Jesus. And mind you, this is a first century boat. It doesn't have the 21st century technology, right? I imagine, and I don't know enough about maritime development of ships or anything like this, but my guess would be in the first century when you build a boat, you're really just happy if it floats. And this one is giving the appearance that it might sink in the storm. Then becomes this next puzzle piece that the disciples are about to receive. Jesus, awoken from his sleep by them, hearing their concern spoken to him, simply says, "Peace, be still." And you might not know at this moment, is he speaking to the frantic, anxious disciples who have woke him up, or is he speaking to the ferocious storm on the sea? But here's what we know, is when Jesus speaks the word, immediately the wind and the waves stop. And I would imagine immediately after that, the anxiety levels of the disciples in the boat drops. I imagine they're feeling that feeling you have felt before when you've maybe almost been in an accident and your adrenaline just dumps in your body and you feel kind of a little bit jittery afterwards until everything works itself out. They know now that they're not going to die, but the residue of the fear that they had in the midst of the storm probably is still exhibited in some way in their life and in their body at that moment. They experienced calm, storm, and calm, all in a short but serious period of time. Think about this a little bit, really. They are completely distraught at the wildness and the unpredictability of the storm and the moment they're in. But to Jesus, it seems as if the storm is tame. Not so wild, not so unpredictable. And Jesus speaks to the storm as one might speak to their own dog who has been trained. Sit down, and the dog sits. Lie down, and the dog lies down. With that kind of ease, Jesus speaks to the wind in the waves and says, "Peace, be still," and it is still. With the same power, with the same word, Jesus can look at you or look at me and also say, "Be forgiven," and you're forgiven. The shame and the guilt, be gone, and it's gone. A turbulent soul because of sin is all of a sudden calmed and given peace at a word that comes from your Lord Jesus that says, "Be forgiven." You know, something that the disciples are beginning to see is this, is if Jesus is not the Lord of everything, then he's not the Lord of anything. If Jesus isn't the Lord of everything for you and for me, then he's not the Lord of anything. And the disciples have gotten an important piece today. This one who is Lord over diseases, this one who is Lord over even the demons, this one who is Lord over all teachers who ever seek to teach truth, this Lord is also the Lord of all creation. We're beginning to see that this Jesus is something more than just a healer, something more than just a teacher, something more than one who drives out the demon, someone who's more even than the Lord of creation, as that picture will soon emerge and they will see not only is he the Lord of life, he's the Lord over death itself. All of these things, afflictions, diseases, anxieties, life, death, creation, demons, his rule and reign is over all of them. They must follow the word that he speaks, and his word is, be still and have peace. See, the question for the disciples and for you and I today, so many centuries later, really is the same. And the question is this, is for you to answer, is the Lord of everything? It's not a question I ask you, it's a question he is asking. It's not an answer that you need to give me when we greet each other at the end of service. It's an answer that you give to him. Is he the Lord of everything for you, or is he then by default only the Lord of a little and the Lord of nothing? That's the answer you need to square up with him and answer. And this pattern of calm, storm, and calm, or setup, upset, and reset, this pattern is a great comfort to you and I as those who are in Christ. And the reason it's so comforting is this, is because Jesus will demonstrate his power before the storm and even after the storm. And as I told people in early service today and told the 7th and 8th graders in Bible study this morning, is this, is every single one of you will receive at minimum one miracle from Jesus in your life. Every single one of you will receive one miracle, at least, maybe more, from Jesus. And you might receive a miracle this side of death. Like the paralytic, like the woman who bled for 12 years, like Jairus' daughter who died. You might receive that. Or you might receive your miracle even after death, at the resurrection of the dead. Collectively, but also personally, you will receive that miracle. One way or another, you are guaranteed one miracle from Jesus. We, brothers and sisters, are baptized into Christ, which means we are brought into that ship, which is the church itself. And at your baptism personally, Jesus enters into your life, into your heart, and into that boat with you. And he promises, I will be here. I will remain here. I am the Lord of the wind, of the waves. I am the Lord over all illnesses. I am the Lord over even death itself for you. And I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. But one day you will see that I will bring to you a final, eternal calm and peace that nothing else and no one else in this world could ever bring into your life. That's the piece of just the part of the puzzle that is your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 4. Let's pray. Lord, what a gift it is for us today, sitting at this point in history where we do, having a fuller picture. There is still a piece missing, but it's only one piece. And it's that piece where we and all of those who have died and left this world believing in you will be resurrected and united once again to live in a new heaven and a new earth with you and all of those who have believed. But until then, Lord, help us to always turn our eyes to you in the midst of the storm and be reminded that you are indeed the Lord of everything and anything that we face in this life. So may we cast our cares upon you. May we reach out our hand to cling in trust to you, just as that woman reached out her hand just to touch the fringe of your garment and to be made well. Lord, may your Spirit increase our faith, increase our trust. May you lead us to people who are anxious and upset about the storm they are in, that we might come and bring them the peace of Jesus and point them to the Jesus that is present with them, just as he is present in the bread and the wine for our forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.